If you have a Bible today, I want you to open it to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. I'm so thankful for everything God's done for us in this series. Jesus is. Somebody say, Jesus is. And all month we've been discovering the wonder of who Jesus is. And as we take a look into his word, we see how amazing his life was. We see how amazing people's lives were transformed that came into contact with him, that met him and encountered him. And so today is New Year's Eve. And I think it's pretty cool we get to be together because tomorrow launches a brand new year. And I'm just happen to be a person that expects greater things every single year because we serve a God who takes us from height to height, from glory to glory, from victory to victory. We see in the Bible where he took Israel from not enough to just enough to more than enough into a place of possession of what he had promised them. Can I tell you that God's doing the same in you and I today? Can I tell you that God has your life on a trajectory that is upward? It is forward. It is moving in a direction of increase so that he can receive the glory and you get the benefit. Can you say amen today? Can I tell you today that God's best belongs to you because of what Jesus Christ did for you at the cross of Calvary? That's good news today because sometimes I don't feel worthy enough, but I don't have to feel worthy enough to earn what God did for me. Jesus is worthy enough, and because of him, I get to receive God's best because of the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're thankful for his sacrifice today, would you just give him glory and praise for just a minute? Amen. And so today is New Year's Eve, and we're stepping over into something new tomorrow. But I want to finish this series with a message. And I came in Thursday, and I began praying and seeking God about writing this message. But it just didn't sit right with me. So this morning I came in and put this on paper. And I don't have a lot for you today, but I believe it's enough. How many of you know one word from God is all it takes to transform your life? One word from God is all it takes to save you or heal you or restore your relationship with those around you. And so today, I didn't come to you with a lot, but I came with a word. Somebody say a word. And here's what it is today. Jesus is a fresh start. Jesus is a fresh start. Now, I don't know about you, but there are times in life, Matt, that I need a fresh start. I just need a do-over. I just want to wipe the slate clean and start all over. Y'all know what I'm talking about. There are some days I'd like to just hit the reset button on. But we're in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18. And here's what the word of God says. Isaiah is a prophet, and Isaiah is declaring to God's people not only what has happened, what is happening, and what will happen. And so we see that God's word is alive and it's active, and it has the power to produce transformation in our life. When you're reading prophetic scripture, here's what you need to understand. Prophetic scripture exists in three tenses: past, present, future. It speaks to us about what God has done. It speaks to us, Jason, about what God is doing. And it speaks to us about what God wants to do. And when we receive a prophetic word, then we must obey it. And what happens is, when we obey the prophetic word, then what he did in the past and what he wants to do in the future merge together in our presence, and there is an explosive release of his now power. Can I tell you, yesterday's gone and tomorrow's not here, but God's given you today, and that's why we call it the present. And he wants to do something in your life today. And I don't know about you, but I'm not satisfied to walk out of here until we've heard a word from God. I'm not satisfied to walk out of here, Victory Church, until we receive what God wants for us. I believe one word is all it takes, Marty, to propel us into the heights this coming year that God wants and desires for you and for me. You are worthy and you are deserving, not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus has done for you. But it's going to require you to take some steps. Are you ready? Amen. Look at your neighbor and tell him, get ready to step in. Here's what it says, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18. It says, do not remember the former things. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Somebody say a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. When? Now, shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, Jesus is our fresh start. And God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah here. And here's what he's sharing with us. He's saying, I'm about to do something greater than anything I've ever done. He says, I'm about to do something greater than anything you've ever seen. He says, I'm about to do something greater than anything you've ever been a part of. He says, do not remember the former things. What were the former things? The former things were when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. He brought them out of bondage. He brought them out of slavery, Alyssa. He broke their chains. He brought them out in one night. He brought them out by the blood of the lamb. They applied the blood of a lamb over the doorpost of their home, and death passed by. And that was a picture of Jesus Christ, the sacrificial lamb of God, who was innocent and shed his blood for you and me, that when we applied his blood over our heart by faith, death had to pass by. And whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He brought them out, Miss Paulette, in one night. And there wasn't a sick or feeble one among them. He brought them out with the wealth of Israel. He brought them to the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army was closing in on them. And he opened up the sea, Brother Bill, and as they passed through, he allowed it to close up on Pharaoh's army behind them, killing them, so he could say to them, what had plagued you before will plague you no longer. What had followed you before will follow you no more. The thing that had tormented you before can never torment you again, because I have taken it out of the way. I have eliminated it in your past. I have eliminated it in your present, so that you can step into my future. He took them out into the wilderness, and when they had nothing to drink from, he gave them water from a rock, because Jesus is our rock. Hallelujah. Jesus is our anchor. When they didn't have nothing to eat, he gave them Krispy Kreme in the morning, and he gave them KFC at night. He gave them manna in the morning, and he gave them quail in the evening, if I can translate that one for you today. And can I tell you today, the same God who provided for them for 40 years, the Bible says, not one of their shoes wore out. Not one of their clothes had a hole in it. There wasn't a sick or a feeble one among them. We can't hardly go for 4 days without somebody getting sick. But can I tell you, you have a God who is able to provide and sustain for you. And the Bible says, if he did it for them under an old covenant in the blood of animals, how much more will he do it for you in a new covenant in the blood of his son, Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. You got a reason to be happy today. He said, I want you to forget about those amazing things I've done, because what I'm about to do is going to eclipse that and be so amazing, you're going to forget about everything in your past. And here's what that new thing he was doing was. The new thing coming was the Messiah. Jesus is the new thing. You know, we're people who are always, Brad, looking for something new. We want a new pair of shoes. We want a new pair of clothes. We want a new car. Why? Because they're shiny, right? Can I tell you, Jesus is always new. Jesus never loses his sheen. Jesus has never gotten old to me yet. Can you say amen? Come on, can you say amen? Jesus has never gotten old to me yet. Living for him has never gotten old to me yet. And so Jesus is a fresh start. And God says, I'm going to do something brand new. And the prophet was telling about the Messiah coming. And when Jesus showed up, he would begin a new way of doing life. He would show us a new revelation that would give us the power to walk in the new things God desired for us. And so today there's just four things I want to share with you quickly. And here they are. Number one, God wants to do a new work in your life. Come on, look at your neighbor and tell him God wants to do a new work in you. God wants to do a new work in you. He wants to do a new work in your life. Jesus was that new thing God was about to do. Again, God was about to begin a new era, a new dispensation, a new season. Somebody say a new season. Jesus was the new contract. He was the new covenant. We call it a testament. There's an Old Testament. There's a New Testament. There was the covenant before Jesus, and there's the covenant after Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be in the one after, because it's a whole lot better. Right? And so he's the new covenant. He is the new contract. He's the new agreement, the New Testament. Jesus is the new beginning. He's a fresh start. And here's what I want you to think about. And I don't have time to go back into every single example, but as you read the Gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Four different accounts, four different people telling the same story. It's the life of Jesus Christ. And what we see is that in every single one, every person who met Jesus, every person who came into contact with him, every person who received what he had to say, they left one way, and it was changed. They left with a fresh start. They left with a new beginning. And Jesus loved to single out people that everybody else threw away. He loved to single out the leper. They were social outcasts. He loved to single out the Samaritans because they were racial outcasts. He loved to single out the tax collectors. The Bible talks about them over and over and over. Why? Because they were outcasts because they had sold out to the Roman government. They had sold out their own people, the Jews. And so God provides a place of restoration. He provides a way for them to start over. He takes prostitutes, like the woman who came in and knelt before him in Simon's house. And she begins to wash his feet with her tears. And she begins to dry his feet off, his dirty feet, with her hair. And he forgives that woman of all her sins. And he says, go, you're forgiven. Her life was changed. Her life was transformed. And we see that those people whose lives were changed begin to follow him. Part of these multitudes and these masses that are walking with Jesus and that are gathering around him, they're people who he's already touched. And there's something about it that when God touches us, we want to follow him. And that's why I wonder sometimes if we're not following him, could it be that we haven't had a touch recently? Can I tell you today that God wants to lay his hand on your life? Can I tell you today that God says to us, forget about the former things because I want to do something in your life today. I want to be your God, not just the God of yesterday, not just the God of your salvation, but I want to be your God today. I want to be the now God in your life. I want you to have a testimony that is up to date with me. I want your well on the inside to be filled with a knowledge of who I am. I don't want you to just know of me. I want you to know me. I want you to experience me. I want to walk with you and I want you to walk with me. So he says God wants to do a new thing in your life. And I love that because 2 Corinthians 5:17 says it like this. If anyone is in Christ. Now let me ask a question. How many of you are in Christ today? Amen. He's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, how many things? How many things? How many things? How many things? All things have become what? New. He takes everything old and it's gone. And he makes everything brand new. I like the way the New Living says it. It says this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Somebody say, I'm a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. God wants to do a new work in us. One of my friends that attends here said to me a couple weeks ago, he says, I've been coming to church and I feel like a new person with a new purpose. And I do everything I can to improve the situations I'm presented with every day. He said, the more I read the Bible and the more I pray, the faster God opens doors and I can't hardly run through them quick enough. Can you give God praise for that new start in their life today? So in Christ, you have a new destiny. In Christ, you have a new direction. He not only redeems my past, but he rewrites my future. And can I tell you today that in Christ, he says your future is going to be different than your past. And that's why he says, do not remember the former things, nor the things of old, because I'm going to do a new thing. Number one, God wants to do a new work in your life. Number two, today, God wants to do a great work in your life. You know, there's a difference. He wants to make you new, but then he wants to use you to do something great. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you're great. You know, God believes you're great. God has deposited greatness on the inside of you. He wants to do a work that's greater than anything you've ever seen. He wants to do a work that's greater than anything you've ever known. He wants to do a work that's greater than anything you could ever imagine. Like I said, he took the children of Israel from not enough to just enough to more than enough. He took them from imprisonment to possession. Jesus said in John chapter 15, I'm the vine and you are the branches. He said, those who abide in me will bear fruit, more fruit and much fruit. There's a trajectory there. I thank God today that we start with justification and then sanctification, and then one day when he comes back, glorification. Can I tell you that the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, and it gets brighter and brighter and brighter, like the sun rising up in the sky. That means today that your best days are ahead of you, your greatest days are ahead of you. And if you believe the prophetic word today and you reach out by faith and grab a hold of what God is saying, I'm going to tell you there is no limit to what you can experience in 2018. There is no limit to what God will do with you. There is no limit to what you can accomplish for his glory. There is no limit in your marriage. There is no limit in your children. There is no limit in your finances. There is no limit in your health. There is no limit in your career. There is no limit in your legacy. Hallelujah. I come to tell somebody that when we grab hold of a word from God, it sends us somewhere. I love the tabernacle and the way it was set up. Three phases. Outer court, inner court, holy of holies. That's where God is taking us. He's taking us progressively into greater measures of his glory. What is his glory? What does that even mean? The Bible says that when Jesus showed up, we saw the glory of God. It was on display. Can I tell you that when God shows up in your life, when God showed up for my friend in that testimony I shared with you before the offering today, can I tell you that's the glory of God? When other people can take notice and say, man, to God be the glory, great things he has done. God wants to do something great in our lives. I love the scripture in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 8. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But here's why. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Do you see what that says? It says that in the time to come, in the years to come, he's going to show us the exceeding riches of his grace. That's God's riches at Christ's expense in his kindness. Somebody say, I have a kind God toward us in Christ Jesus. We think after salvation, that's it. Can I tell you that the Bible says that after salvation, he begins to pour out even greater things upon us to reveal to the world around us how amazing his grace is. Can you give God thanks for that this morning? So he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, he says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. How many of you love him today? Watch this. He's prepared things for you who love him. Somebody say, God's got some stuff prepared for me. Isn't that good? Think about this. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And he says in verse 10, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. God is showing them to us day by day through his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. The Spirit knows the deep things of God. He knows the depths of God's desire for you. And Paul, he wants to reveal those things to you. Jesus said he would come and he would help you and he would show you things to come. What is it he's showing us? He's showing us the things that eye has not seen and ear has not heard. And we've never even imagined the things that God has prepared for those who love him. I'm telling you right now, we need to live more dependent on the Holy Spirit than we ever have before. Every believer should have a personal and a powerful and a daily and a dynamic relationship with him, where we're inviting him to be a part of every process and inviting him into every decision we make, because he will reveal the plans and the purposes of God to you. And I'm telling you right now, you don't ever have to miss the will of God for your life. You can walk in the dead center of his perfect will, not only today, but every single day of your life. Thank God today, you don't have to miss God. Can you give him praise? Number three, God wants to deliver you from captivity. Here's what you've got to understand, that when Isaiah said this, they had gone into Babylonian captivity. They're being held captive again. And there's something in them that we need to take a look at. Because God says, I want you to forget about the old things and I want you to step into the new. And what it says to us is, you cannot hold on to the old and step into the new. I cannot hang on to the old and at the same time receive the new. I cannot look at the old and the new at the same time. And again, Israel is notorious for this. And the Apostle Paul tells us that what they went through, Dorothy, was written so that we could learn from it, because we're just like them. And he says that Israel's journey, when God brought them out of Egypt, should have only taken 2 weeks. But it ended up taking them 40 years. I want you to think about that. It should have only taken them 2 weeks, Hope, but it took them 40 years. Something was going on there. What was it that was happening? What is it about seasons in our life when we go through a difficult moment that should have only lasted a moment, but it ends up being a lifelong detour? Y'all know what I'm talking about. I meet people like this all the time. They've been through something in their past, and God's telling us to forget about it, but they're still allowing it to define their identity in the present, and they're allowing it to wreck their future. And I think about this. It should have only taken them 2 weeks, but it ended up taking them 40 years. And living in our past is fatal to our future. It locks us into cycles of defeat. It locks us into cycles of discouragement. It locks us into cycles of doubt and disappointment. And we're frustrated because we never see anything change. And like Israel, we're hot lapping the same mountain in the wilderness over and over and over. I remember in Driver's Ed, they had what was called a clover leaf interchange on the interstate. And it was four exit ramps. And the Driver's Ed instructor would take us. And we were in a Ford Tempo or Topaz or whatever. I mean, a bunch of us football players in this little tiny speck of a car, and he would have us loop around one and then go to the other one, loop around it and then the other one, and I mean work that figure eight over and over and over until you just wanted to barf. That was not good because we went to Taco Bell for lunch and then we're doing this. But it reminds me of that. It's like getting on the off ramps over and over and over, and the car's moving, but we're never going anywhere. And that's what Israel was doing. And when we live in the past, the things that should have been temporary setbacks, the things that should have been a momentary season, become the lifelong detours that derail us from God's plan. And there's something about human nature that becomes obsessed about over our past and looking back. And some of you here today are bound by your past. You're bound by where you've been instead of driven by where you're headed. Can I tell you that what you've been through is not what God's taking you to, and that every believer goes through a little bit of hell on their way to heaven. And what I need you to see today is that their bondage was internal. Even though they were being held in captivity, their bondage was on the inside. Because when God brought them out of Egypt, they still kept looking back. He got them out of Egypt in a night, but it took them 40 years to get Egypt out of their heart. Making sense to you today? And so here's what I want to say to you, because I was talking to somebody the other day at the gym, and they said, I just don't understand what's going on with this individual, and they're never happy, and so on and so forth. And I said, well, even if they had those things that they think they want in their life, they still wouldn't be happy when those things change. Because the problem is not with their situation. The problem is not with their surrounding. The problem is not with who they're with. The problem is not their career. The problem is a condition of the heart. And so the captivity is on the inside. God is talking to people who had already been brought out. And today God is talking to people who are already saved, who still have captivity in your heart. And so we're living in bondage, and we're living with limitations, and we're living with the shackles, and we're living inside the confines of an 8x8 prison cell. And all the while, the prison door is standing open because of what Jesus did at Calvary, and Satan is completely and totally and utterly defeated. But can I tell you today, he's holding you bound by invisible shackles, and you're sitting there wondering why God's not doing anything. And the answer is because he's already given you the victory. It's time for you to stand up and break free in the name of Jesus. And they kept going back to captivity. And so here's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 17. He said, nobody puts new wine into old wineskins. For the old skins would burst from the pressure. Somebody say pressure. Spilling the wine and ruining the skins. He says new wine is stored in new wineskins so that both are preserved. Now I want you to think about this. Jesus is using something they understood in this day. And he's talking about the fermentation process that would go on when they would put fresh grape juice inside of a container so that it could become wine. And what he's saying is they would use a skin, literally a skin. Because what would happen is, as the fermentation process took place, the skin would stretch to match the capacity and the release of what was going on the inside. Old wineskins had already used up the ability to stretch out. They had already been maximized. There was nothing left they could do. They were dry and they were brittle. And so Jesus is saying to us simply this, that new wine needs new wineskins to give it room to grow and room to expand and room to contain what was being released on the inside. Jesus is teaching us how to be a vessel and how to be a container of God's move in the earth. earth today, how to be a vessel and how to be a container of his Holy Spirit today. Jesus was saying the old way is not going to work. He was saying the old idea is not going to work, because they were asking him, how come they fast and your disciples don't? And Jesus says to him, there's got to be a change in the way you do things when I come into your life. I'm bringing you a fresh start. I'm bringing you a new beginning, but you've got to change your way of thinking to step into what God wants. God was doing a new thing, and he would do it in new people. And what Jesus would do in us through the power of the Holy Spirit, he was saying would be ever growing and ever expanding, stretching us to the max and bringing enlargement into your life and increasing your capacity. Can I tell you, somebody got to get excited right there, because it's saying to you and I that greater is he that's on the inside, Frank, than he that's in the world. And the Spirit of God is growing and enlarging and expanding, and the pressure on the inside of me is increasing, hallelujah. And when the pressure goes up, there's got to be a blow off, hallelujah. And it ought to come out your mouth. People ought to be experiencing the overflow of the new wine of the Holy Spirit in your life. Can I tell you right now that when Jesus makes a difference in you, it begins to affect everybody around you. And so what that means is greater works require greater ways of thinking. Our willingness to change. There's got to be an elasticity to our lives. A willingness to be stretched. Those greater ways of thinking, here's how they come. They come by new revelation. Somebody say new revelation. God reveals himself to us. Now there's nothing new under the sun, but it's new to us. It's what I love about this church. So many people come in who have never had a walk with Christ, don't know anything about the Bible, and it's like one light bulb moment after another for them. And God begins to reveal himself, but that's not who I'm talking to today. I'm talking about, and this passage is talking about the problem when God has already shown us what to do. He's already spoken to us about what he desires. We know the way we should go. We know what his word says, and we willfully choose the old ways over his new ways. We choose our way over God's way. Now, I know nobody here has been guilty of that, but I have been. So let me just preach to myself for a minute, take you off the hook. I'm talking about when we know how the word says to respond to unforgiveness, and we choose to hold a grudge. I'm talking about when we know what the word says about worldliness, and we choose to keep playing with sin, and we wonder why we're in bondage. Can I get an amen? Amen. I'm talking about knowing to do right and choosing to do it not. And so greater works require greater ways of thinking. And that's what Israel did. They kept looking back to the old. They kept wanting to go back. And when God had made their future so much better and so much clearer, they still chose to go back over a better future. And I think so many times that's what we do. God wants to do a new work in you, but he says you've got to forget about the old. He said, I'm going to do something that's going to blow your mind, but you've got to let go of what's in the past. You got to be willing to set your eyes on him and not look back to those things. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21 through 24 says, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him. In other words, you've already had Jesus revealed to you. He said, this is what I want you to do. He said, I want you to throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and truly holy. See, you've got to put on that new person. You've got to step into that new life. Jesus said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Can I tell you today, the truth does not make you free. The truth you know makes you free. The truth you live makes you free. It's dangerous to hear God's word and not obey it, because now you're responsible. Let me try that one to get over here. I'm so glad you're at church today, but it's dangerous to hear this book and not obey it, because now you're responsible. You have the key. You have the answer. You have the map. You have the instruction manual. You know the way. And we can't step into the new life and the greater future God's prepared for us with old attitudes, with old hurts, with old habits, with old hang-ups, with old regrets, with old insecurities. Am I getting close on anybody today? And we carry these things. We carry them forward. Look, I know stuff happens in life, and I'm sorry it did. My life wasn't immune to it, but I refuse to let it define me. I refuse to allow the moments when those things from my past creep up on me and they bite me and tears swell up in my eyes and I don't understand why my life went the way it did. Can I tell you that I don't wallow in those moments? I don't allow those moments to define me. I understand that people have done things to you that have hurt you and that weren't fair, but can I tell you that God is a fair God? And can I tell you that God will work it all out? And God, can I tell you today, He works all things together for the good of them who love Him and those who are the called according to His purpose. Can I tell you today that God's plan is bigger than any of your persecutors? God's plan is bigger than any of your pain. God's plan is bigger than anything you're facing today. Would you give Him praise? He says, "For I know the plans I have for you," but the reality is we'll never know those plans or experience those plans if we keep hanging on to the past. This morning, it's time to shed that junk. And that's why it's so critical, because that's what happened. Every person who met Jesus, they shed the junk. Every person who had an exchange with Him and their life was transformed, they left the past behind. And God wants to do great things for you. And God wants to be new in your life every single day and reveal Himself to you. But can I tell you, as long as you spend your life looking back, you'll never see it and you'll never experience it. And I want to share with you my fourth and final point today. And it's simply this. It requires us to exchange comfort for courage and confidence. If we're going to step into the new things that God desires for us, it's going to require faith in you. It's going to require you to exchange comfort for courage and confidence. Can I tell you, Israel got comfortable hot lapping the same mountain. And we do the exact same thing. We're comfortable with our pain. Is that right? We're comfortable with our depression. We're comfortable with our bondage because we get used to it and we become afraid of anything outside of that box of what we actually know. But God requires us to exchange comfort for courage and confidence. In other words, faith. And if you look again at Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19, here's what God says to them. Here's the final thing God says. He says, "I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Think about that. I will make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. When you go out in the wilderness, there is no road. So it's easy to get lost, right? And when you go into a desert, you don't expect to find a river. But God says, "Here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to make a road where there was no road, and I'm going to put a river in the middle of a dry place." In other words, God says to them, "You're about to go through a wilderness, and you're about to walk through a desert, but I don't want you to be afraid, because I'm going to be the path, I'm going to be your way, I'm going to be the truth, and I'm going to be the life, and I'm going to be the river of living water, that even though you're walking through a dry land, there is going to be something bubbling up and bursting on the inside of you, so that no matter what you see, I want you to never forget that I am greater than your surroundings. I am greater than your circumstances. I am your provider and I'm your provision. I am your protector and I am your source." And He says to you today, "I'm going to make a way where you couldn't see a way. I'm going to make rivers flow where everything else had been dry. I'm going to put an oasis there for you when you didn't think there was anything. I've already gone ahead of you, and I've made a way for you, and I've cleared a path for you, and nothing Satan can do can stop you from enjoying the increase that I want to pour out on your life when you forget about the past and step into the greater things I've got for you." Here's what happens. Fear will always project the absence of God into your future. Fear will always project the absence of God into your future. But no matter how desolate your situation may be, God is your provider. Somebody say, "He's my provider." He's not limited by what you can see. And what He leads you to, He's going to take you through. I want everybody to stand with me this morning, if you would. I believe this is a now word for us. I believe this is a word that, as you've heard it today, faith has risen in your heart. You say, "Josh, I'm tired of the old. I want God's best. I want the great things that God has imagined for me that I haven't even yet discovered. I don't want to miss out, Josh, on anything God's got for me. I want His absolute best this year. And I know there are things hindering me. I know there are things holding me back. I'm not even necessarily talking about sin. Some of you might have sin that you know is there, that you know is holding you back. And God wants to break that bondage for you today. But I'm talking about the weight. The Bible talks about things that drag you down. I'm talking about those hurts, those habits, those hang-ups, those things that you've hung on to that are preventing you, those attitudes that are keeping you from stepping into the new thing and the greater thing God wants to do. Your testimony's not current and you've taken that lifelong detour, and today God says you can let go of it with every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here today and you say, Josh, I want everything God's got for me, and today I want to let go of anything hindering me back, today I open my heart and I want God to come in and I want Him to purge me of anything that would hold me back from what He's got for me. If that's you today, I just want you to throw both hands up as a sign of surrender all across this room. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I ask that like a deluge, like a cleansing flood, I ask that Your Spirit be poured out in every heart and in every life. And God, You would wash away every weight, every sin, every hindrance, everything that's holding us back, everything that prevents us from walking in the fullness of everything You desire. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I bind and break every stronghold, every bondage. In the name of Jesus, I cast it down. In Jesus' name, we break its hold. Satan, we command you to flee. We cancel every assignment of the enemy. We apply the precious blood of Jesus over every heart, spirit, soul, and body. I thank You for healing from brokenness. I thank You for clarity of vision. I thank You for wisdom, God, that is washing confusion away and restoring absolute clarity. I thank You for purpose being revealed. I thank You, God, for power in the name of Jesus. I thank You, God, for Your presence. I thank You, God, today for the trajectory of faith. I thank You that it's one of elevation. I thank You that it's one of ascendancy. I pray today for a restoration of joy that would be our strength, of peace that passes all understanding, of love that never fails, that gives us the victory every single day, of hope beyond the scope of anything that human limitation could put upon it, God. Hope of the resurrection, God. Let us rise again. Let us rise up in 2018. Let us rise up into the things of God. Let us rise above defeat. Let us rise above our enemies. Let us rise in the name of Jesus. And we pray that no flesh would glory in Your sight, but that all that see would give You honor and praise. Father, I thank You tonight for gifts and talents and abilities. I call them out in Jesus' name. Let them be developed in the name of Jesus. God, let heaven come down. I pray Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth and in our lives as it is in heaven. We give You thanks. We give You praise. We give You glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Victory is ours. Come on, give Him praise. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Come on, that's a word today, church. Hallelujah. Man, that is the way I want to start my new year. That's the way I want to end my old year. And to God be the glory. Amen.